I'm Dan Hughes in the Old Time Radio Corner. The name Abe Burrows may not ring a bell, but his work is well known. He was the head writer of Duffy's Tavern, and he helped create the character of Archie for that show. Later, he wrote or co-wrote Broadway musicals like Can-Can, Breakfast at Tiffany's, and Guys and Dolls. Oh, and he won a Pulitzer Prize for how to succeed in business without really trying. Abe Burrows, a self-taught piano player, was at his best writing and singing satirical songs. His radio show, first called The Abe Burrows Show, and later Breakfast with Burrows, ran from 1947 to 1949. I'm going to play you two episodes because the show was just 15 minutes nightly. First, from October 23, 1947, this episode is called Real Life Romance.
Abe Burrows Show, recorded from until the air Columbia Network release. The Columbia Broadcasting System and its affiliated stations present Abe Burrows.
Hello, I'm Burrows, like he said. This program that you're about to hear represents a complete departure from the Hour of Charm. This week I'm doing my broadcast in New York City, which is a pretty tough thing to happen to a town right on top of the American Legion. You know, a thought just occurred to me. Remember how the Indians sold Manhattan for only $24? I'll bet you those Indians knew all the time that the Legion was coming. Change history. Well, I guess people are kind of tired of hearing about that convention anyway. But I just want to tell you a cute song idea that I got from it. It's a love song called, It Was a Legionnaire with an Electric Cane Who Pointed Her Out to Me. Isn't that sweet? Anyway, it's nice being here, and I've got some new song titles that I wrote in honor of this New York visit. One is a rather sweet one called, That Wonderful Night We Were Crowded Together in an Empty Subway Train. And then there's a nice novelty-type love song. This is nice. I like this. It's called, I Found a Beautiful Mermaid in the Fulton Fish Market of Love. That song better be kept in an icebox. Well, I've got a song I'd like to do now. It's what you call a I Got a Woman Crazy for Me type song. You know the kind of thing where a fella stands up and moans about the dame who's his slave, even though he doesn't deserve it? Sounds something like this, the big schmo. I ain't nothing much as far as looks goes. I ain't read a lot as far as books go. I am quite a schnook as far as schnooks go. But my girl is crazy, crazy about me. I ain't got one of them wealthy papers. I've never been attracted to tomatoes. I'm 5 feet tall when wearing elevators. But my girl is crazy, crazy about me. She works all day in a coal mine. Keeps me clothes and fed. If she ever left, I think I'd miss her. She works and cooks and slaves for me. And all she ever asks is a smile when I slap her in the kisser. Sometimes when she's so tired, when her work is done, I think that maybe I ought to go to work myself instead of lying in the sun. But then I ask, have I the right to louse up the poor girl's fun? Cause my girl is crazy, crazy about a plain little nothing like me. Isn't that awful? Isn't that awful? An egomaniac type love song. Of course, that kind of careless contempt is almost a relief after the exaggerated raving that goes on in most love songs. Like I heard a thing the other night called Stella by Starlight. But a fella sings that to him, Stella by Starlight is the song of the birds in spring, a great symphonic theme, orchestras playing. Sounds to me like you couldn't touch Stella without permission from Petrillo. And incidentally, the fella doesn't mention how he felt when he saw Stella by daylight. Just by Starlight. But anyway, you know that in real life, when the average fella's stuck on a girl, he says to her something like, you're cute. Or if it's really a big thing with him, he might go so far as to say, you for me, kid. Or maybe he'll just say, duh. But in the love songs, it says that when he looks at her, bells ring, birds sing, orchestras play, trumpets blow. How can anyone make love with such a racket going on? Besides, it's liable to wake up father. Oh, those love songs. I have one here that I call a recipe-type love song. Kind of thing where a fellow itemizes all the great things that go into making up his love for the girl. Kind of like she was a cake and he was Betty Crocker. Here it is, a recipe-type love song. Lately, I've been cogitating, and I've been investigating. My palpitating love for you. Our love, it ain't just that simple romance. It's made up of lots and lots of great ingredients. Take some honey from the bee, pull the leg off of a flea. Take the lemon from some tea, and what have you got? It's weed. Why, take the rumba from Havana, take the peel off of a banana. Take the tinkle of Roman Sienna, and what have you got? It's weed. Take the dawn at sunset, take a blushing rose. The ice from the glacier, the Kaiser from a fascia. Take the Ramsey from his nose. Oh, take some of Avian's gorgeous gown. Take some of Mr. Baskerville town. Take some coal from Epsom Downs. And what have you got? It's me, just you. What have you got? It's us. Now we hear from our distinguished conductor and musical mentor, Mr. Milton Deluxe, the great accordionist. Or as he's known in musical circles, the Shelley of the squeeze box. Mr. DeLug and the quartet are going to do something to a fine tune called Stompin' at the Savoy. Nice song, Milty. Sounds pretty smooth to me. You know, the wonderful thing about Milton's music is that a mistake sounds like it's part of the arrangement. Tonight, accompanying myself at the Steinway, you'll notice I always announce that I use a Steinway. I'm paid to say this by the Baldwin people. The Baldwin's out there. Anyway, I'd like to do another one of my movie travelogues. This one is about Los Angeles. It's entitled simply and unpretentiously, Los Angeles, Magic Wonderland of Glorious Make-Believe. You see, I think there have been too many travelogues about the Fiji Islands or Tibet or British Upper Tanganyika or the Where the Heck Mountain. Americans ought to know more about their own country. This applies especially to New Yorkers. You know, I come from New York, as if you thought I was from London. And I remember when I was a kid, I was pretty vague about the rest of the country outside of New York. To me, the West meant New Jersey. And beyond that, Indian country. So I think it'll be instructive to do this travelogue on Los Angeles. Like this. Here in the golden heart of sun-drenched Southern California, close by the mighty blue Pacific, which is called the uncle of the ocean. Here in this lovely spot lies Los Angeles. Lovely Los Angeles. A veritable jewel of a city. Rich in scenic wonders. Abundantly endowed with the gifts of bounteous nature. Blessed by the kiss of the goddess of beauty. Dazzling in the sun's bright alchemy. Sprinkled with stardust. Filled with dreams. And containing a magnificent sewer system. This is a very large city. In population, Los Angeles ranks fourth among American cities. It would rank first, except for the fact that there are more people living in three other cities. Beautiful Los Angeles. Oh, look, see who's over there. It's Gregory Peck, Clark Gable, Charlie Chaplin, Lionel Barrymore, Jane Russell, and Dame Mae Whitty. Hello, Gregory, Clark, Charlie, Lionel, Jane, and Dame Mae. Ah, colossal Los Angeles. How happy and healthy all the people look. See over there. See that large group of happy-looking men, all carrying tennis rackets and golf bags. They've just arrived in town. They're congressmen here for an investigation. Ah, restful Los Angeles. Oh, say, here's a handsome building. It's built rather like the Taj Mahal. It's made of white marble and mother of pearl. And across the front of it is a solid gold sign which reads, Hamburger. Hollywood is famous for its hamburgers. Also cheeseburgers, nut burgers, fruit burgers, and for vegetarians, a new meatless sandwich called the No Burger. Our cultured Los Angeles. Oh, look here. Here's the famed Brown Derby restaurant, where the stars are often wont to congregate. Oh, and look there at the corner table. There's Gregory Peck, Clark Gable, Charlie Chaplin, Lionel Barrymore, Jane Russell, and Dame Mae Whitty. Hello, Gregory, Clark, Charlie, Lionel, Jane, Dame Mae. Now we're going to visit some of the big movie studios. Those lovely big movie studios, where they make those wonderful motion pictures which have given us all so many happy hours of sleep. There is mighty MGM, which stands for RKO. Oh, look, there's Mickey Rooney. Walking onto a set. Hello, Mickey. Mickey's about to make his 400th party picture. This one is called Andy's Hardy Artery. And now let's move on to Warner Brothers. Oh, look at all the pretty starlets. These little starlets all start out with small partlets in pictures. And I have no doubtlet that their partlets will be cutlets. Ha ha. I tell you, a bit of humor does brighten things up, doesn't it? Here's another big studio. Universal International. Oh, look who's there in the commissary. It's Gregory Peck, Clark Gable, Charlie Chaplin, Lionel Barrymore, Jane Russell, and Dame Mae Whitty. Hello, Gregory, Clark, Charlie, Lionel, Jane, and Dame Mae. Well, there must be many more wonderful things we could see in this fascinating city. But frankly, I doubt it. And so we say... farewell, Los Angeles. Farewell, a weaver of dreams. Farewell, Grauman's Chinese. Farewell, Cucamonga, Azusa, La Brea Tar Pit, Gregory Clark, Charlie, Lionel, Jane, and Dame Mae. And Lassie, what are you doing there? Farewell. Thank you.
This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
The A. Burroughs Show was recorded earlier from the Columbia Network.
From October 23, 1947, The Abe Burroughs Show. And now, from the next night, October 24, 1947, this episode is called When Television Takes Over.
Now, here's The Abe Burroughs Show, recorded earlier from the Columbia Network.
From Hollywood, the Columbia Broadcasting System and its affiliated stations present Abe Burroughs.
Hello, I'm Burroughs, like you said. Here I am. Here I am once again, hurrying through another 15 minutes in my futile race against television. You know, I wonder what's really going to happen when television does take over. It's no problem to the pretty boys, but what about us fellas who are just wholesome looking? Not that I'm worried about the future. I was shrewd enough to prepare myself so that I can be completely independent of this whole business. I've been taking a course in how to live without eating. So I'm not worried, you see. But it still seems there ought to be room in television for a guy like me. I ain't too repulsive. I got kind of a cute twinkle in my glasses. And the fact that I ain't got a lot of hair can be very useful commercially. For instance, just think how commercial it'll be if at the end of a television show, I take a deep bow, and across the top of my head, it says Sunkissed. Or Jones's Doorknobs. You know, although maybe a sponsor wouldn't like a commercial to be stated so boldly. My goodness. Well, that's all in the future. Right now, I'll concentrate on radio and songs. I expect to do very well with a new number I'm working on. It's a tender little thing called When I Grow Too Old to Dream, I'll Still Be on the List for That Chevy. I'll let you all know when I finish that one. Got a song here now that some of you may have heard before. For a while, I kept body and soul together by helping to write Duffy's Tavern for Ed Archie Gardner. Somebody spilled beer in the piano. Anyway, I spent 5 years with the mighty Gardner. I guess he taught me just about everything I know about radio. You know, that could be considered an insult. Anyway, during that period, I collaborated with Frank Lesser on a song called Leave Us Faces, a maudlin little ballad which expressed Archie's sentiments on love in Archie's own peculiar language, which makes it an illiterate type song. Illiterate. Here it is. I stand here at good old Duffy, where the ale eat me to eat. Me red cup suckles racing. I await for you, my sweet. In me hand is a diamond unfurled. We should holler it out to the world. Leave us no longer pretend that you are merely a friend. For it is wrote in the stars above. Though we have tried to act cold, suddenly low and get hold. Leave us face it. We're in love. Leave us not blush with no shame. If people bandage our name, shoes and old rice are worth dreaming of. Stories like in our two eyes could win the Pulitzer Prize. Leave us face it. We're in love. In some other life, we was once man and wife. In an old French chapeau, we was mated. Now mine love for thine, just as thine love for mine, has been reincarcerated. So I politely trot at your feet. Don't leave me life incomplete. I'm like a turtle without a dove. Love light ain't meant to be hid. No, 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 perish forbid. Leave us face it. We're in love.
I thought I sang that rather beautifully. You know, I think my voice is improving. Feels stronger like, you know?
I love life and I...
All right, so I ain't common Lombardo. Well, you hear me in this next number. I was sitting around the other day looking for some interesting song ideas. The kind of thing that'd live, you know? I had one shanty town, but I paid a bonus to get it. I quickly rejected that one. What I really was looking for was a holiday type song. You know, holiday songs like White Christmas, they seem to go on forever, collect all the time. When I started looking for holidays to write about, I couldn't find one that was open. Frank Lesser just wrote, What Are You Doing New Year's Eve? Irving Berlin had covered almost every other holiday from Lincoln's birthday to St. Swithin's Day. Finally, it seemed like Washington's birthday might be a possibility. By Washington's birthday, I had a love song called If Washington told the truth to his father, why should you lie to me? But that seems sort of irreverent. I don't know. And suddenly I had a very good thought. All of a sudden it struck me. October 12th, Columbus Day. That was it. So here it is, a Columbus Day type love song. My lips were singing, my heart was beating. Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful meeting. Just like Columbus done to America, I discovered you. Beyond the 12th of October, intoxicated with love, but the rest of us were sober. We discovered just what bliss is. 1,492 kisses. Columbus was the greatest explorer of them all. He found out that the earth was round, and then he had a ball. Oh, just like Columbus discovered America, I discovered, I located, I set foot on you. And for that, poor Isabella went and hocked her jewels. Now we'll hear from our quartet, or as they are known in musical circles, the tone deafers. Under the guidance of Milton Deluxe, which really is his name, as I've had to explain repeatedly to people who think I'm insulting him, this quartet has been devoting itself to the valuable cultural task of mitering the classics. Tonight, however, they're going to turn over a new leaf. They're going to try something new. They're going to miter a pop tune. The tune they've chosen is that big revival hit called I Wonder Who's Kissing Her Now. Fellas, that was lovely. Really, Milty, it was lovely. You couldn't have done better if you know how to read music. Some weeks ago, I did a version of one of those chatty, philosophical-type guys who come on the air every afternoon with chit-chat, tidbits, homely philosophy, and a special brand of boredom. Well, tonight I'd like to bring that fella back for another of his chats. So here he is. Milton, play something friendly, will you? Hello there. May I come in and visit? This is Abe Burrows dropping in for another cozy chat with you and you and you. Let's have a real good talk, shall we? You know, a wise philosopher once said, if people spent more time talking to each other, there would be a lot more conversation. Yes. It's a lovely day today. I feel wonderful. I guess it's because I've got a big load off my mind. There's been a family living in the apartment over my garage. Husband, wife, and six children, all living in this tiny apartment. And I've been worrying about them a good deal. Well, I don't have to worry about them anymore. This morning, I finally had them evicted. That's funny how these little problems solve themselves. A wise philosopher once said, no matter how many troublesome problems you may have, you'd be much better off without them. Well, let's see what's in the old mailbag. Here's a letter that says, Dear A, I listen to your friendly little program every day, and I want to tell you that I think it stinks. Signed, devoted listener. You don't know how I appreciate your letters. Well, now I'd like to say a few words to the men who have families. This message is from one of my sponsors, an old reliable insurance company. This company is the well-known Consolidated Casualty and Infirmity Company of Northern Uruguay. This month only, this company is offering a wonderful protection in the form of a modified premium triple indemnity special fidelity extra debility double security policy, which has the added feature of coming in a gorgeous cellophane envelope. This policy plays quadruple indemnity if you are killed by a meteorite or a crossbow. And it pays double indemnity if you're accidentally sawed in half. You might call up these folks, and incidentally, say that Abe Burrow sent you. It'll kind of... You know, it'll kind of help me get a commission. And now I'd like to read you a poem. It's a poem that came in the mail. A lovely poem, too. It's called Our Bird Bath. There's a bird bath in our garden, and every single day, lots of little birdies come to splash and play. We feed them bird seed from our hands. They're not shy, they're not suspicious. And when they're big, we take them in. They really are delicious. Ah, that's a beautiful and grim thought. Now I'd like to say a few words about discouragement. Discouragement is bad. You know, people often get discouraged, and when that happens, there's a little story I like to tell. Several years ago, there was a man who was pretty discouraged. He lost his business, didn't know which way to turn. Well, sir, one afternoon he wandered into a movie theater, and there on the screen, playing a small part, he saw a beautiful girl. A few weeks later, he saw this lovely girl in another picture. And from then on, he went to see every one of her pictures. Well, friend, you may not believe this, but today, that girl is Rita Hayworth. So never be discouraged. Well, I guess it's about time to put the cover back on the old philosophical garbage pail. But before I do, I'd like to do something which I rarely do, sing a song. This song was sent to me by a man who used to be a concert singer. Recently, the poor fellow has been confined to his bed by an illness which he contracted while singing. He was hit in the face with an infected tomato. Well, sir, he asked your old philosopher to sing this song, and I'm going to try because it carries a message. It's called No Matter. No matter how far apart we are, no matter how many miles, no matter if your hair is turning gray, no matter if you're beat up and fading away, no matter how hard the journey seems, no matter how cold or how wet, I'll fight wind and tide just to get to your side, 'cause you've got an apartment to let. Thank you. Thank you. We'll be back again next week, same time, same station. This program is not affected by the change in daylight saving time, because we're on at night. Good night.
This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
The Abe Burrow Show was recorded earlier and came to you from Columbia Square. If you would like to attend the Eastern release of the Abe Burrow Show at 7:30 p.m. next Saturday night, write to Abe Burrows in care of the Columbia Broadcasting System, Hollywood, and tickets will be sent to you.
From October 23 and October 24, 1947, two episodes of The Abe Burrows Show. If there are old-time radio programs you remember and would like to hear again, drop me a note at Dan, D-A-N, at radiofun.info. Thanks for listening. In the Old Time Radio Corner, I'm Dan Hughes.